You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Most people love a good piece of gossip, but talking about people behind their backs can often lead to hurt feelings, broken hearts, and a host of other often serious problems. Here to help is New York Times Social Cues columnist Philip Galanis, and I'm always pleased to welcome him back to our show. If you have a question or personal predicament, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And if you don't want to reveal that the thing is personal, just say you're calling for a friend.
Oh, I like
We'll understand. So, Philip, do you get a lot of questions about gossip in your social cues mailbox?
Yes, I do. I definitely do. Over the 5 years, I've seen an increase. And I think a lot of it has to do with celebrity journalism, the way that's exploded. And all of a sudden, poor Jennifer Aniston's childlessness is all of a sudden opens the door for us to speculate about all kinds of personal problems that regular folks like you and me might be having in their lives.
I don't understand why Jennifer Aniston's childlessness is any more relevant than my next-door neighbor's childlessness.
Well, you might have to talk to, like, American Media and the National Enquirer, because they're making hundreds of millions of dollars talking about hers.
Well, I'm not going to talk about my neighbor. A listener, Sherry, asked this question on our show page. Here's what I don't get about gossip. We all know it's wrong, so why do we keep doing it? And she wonders if it's like jaywalking.
Well, that's a very interesting question. And then right off at the top of the segment, let me come out as a gossip. I gossip. I enjoy it. It's fun. I don't know anyone who doesn't. But when I think about it, when I think about why I'm gossiping, it's usually at a time when I'm feeling a little insecure or feeling a little jealous. And my gossip is an attempt to make myself feel better in that perverse way of dragging somebody else down.
And social researchers have found that gossip is often a way of reinforcing social norms in a group. But there's different kinds of gossip. There's gossip that's mean. There's gossip that is kind of informational.
Yeah.
You should know this.
Gossip about what your company is contemplating a sale to a competitor is gossip. Let's talk about let's define our terms.
It all depends on who you're calling. And now, if you're calling a brokerage house and telling them that, you might go to jail.
And if somebody's doing something a little more usually I think when people think gossip, they're thinking something that's a little more lurid than the kind of traditional exchange of information where men and women for centuries have, made themselves communities.
Well, people sometimes talk about a mutual friend out of concern. It's still gossip.
True.
She's been taking drugs recently.
Yeah.
Or she's with that guy. Nobody likes him.
Right. And I think sometimes we have to examine our motives. If we're really talking out of concern, then I think it's probably it can be productive, because you and I, if we have a mutual friend, Leonard, and we're concerned about him or her, and we're talking, it might lead to a really helpful action plan. But I think a lot of the concern is often masking the kind of sort of lurid pleasure we can take in just repeating something we're not even quite sure is factual, but we have suspicions about and get our adrenaline rushing a little bit because it's a little naughty.
Well, intent seems to be a major part of all of this. In a group of friends, the same words can sound like nasty gossip coming out of one person's mouth and like concern coming out of another's.
Absolutely. I think you're right.
A couple of commenters on our show page said that they felt that the term is gendered and that women are unfairly targeted for something that both men and women do. Do you think that we associate gossip or the term gossip with women more than men? In Yiddish, the word is yenta, and, except for Proust, I've never heard a man called a yenta.
I think it's typically, right, the popular culture representation of gossip is two women talking over a backyard fence. But that couldn't be less. In my experience, men gossip absolutely as much as women do, and because we all do. It's interesting, one of those things that I don't want to get off of the gendered thing, but I don't really think that there's a... I mean, yes, I think it's another kind of misogyny that's in our culture.
Because men gossip.
Absolutely. But this is the one kind of thing where every... Gossip is the one thing where everyone says they hate it, and yet we all do it. Like, smokers... You know, they might say, I hate that I smoke, but most smokers are just, well, they'll just smoke. It's a bad habit, but they'll just do it, and they don't feel the need to sort of say, I would never do that, and then go outside and smoke a cigarette. But with gossip, it's a little bit different.
Our number here is 212-433-9692 if you want to get into the conversation. A listener asks, a good friend recently mentioned that she's reconnected with an old friend from college. They're not quite dating, but she seems to really like him. I happen to know some information about his past, but it's not confirmed, and I'm not sure it's true. I heard he was asked to leave his previous job after a scandal. Should I mention this to my friend? I don't want her to get hurt if they do start dating.
Yeah, I'd keep that to myself, actually, especially if you really... I mean, you're so... honest and upfront about not knowing whether it's true or not, that I don't think anyone's going to get, they're not going to get hurt by going on a, no one's going to get hurt by going on a few dinners together. And why don't we let it unfold a little bit before we squelch somebody's new romantic interest?
Well, the alternative would be to do serious investigation.
Hire Magnum PI, get somebody with a mustache on the job because they'll get to the bottom of it.
Kaslas left this question on our show page. I recently have a coworker who talks smack behind another coworker's back, everything from how dumb she is, he thinks she is, how lazy she is, and how he can't believe she works there. But whenever he sees her, he smiles warmly at her, takes cake from her when she offers it, and likes to lecture her in topics he thinks she's too dumb to know herself. Does she deserve the right to know he's talking that way behind her back?
Well, a lot of this will come down to context and kinds of relationships. If this woman were, it doesn't sound as if the caller or the writer is any closer to one than the other. I'm more inclined to call the guy, and this is a really tricky area, and I'm sure we'll talk through this as in the segment, how you call someone on gossiping. But I'd rather... It doesn't really benefit anyone for you to cause a feud between the two people by telling the one who's being talked about that this guy is talking smack about her every minute.
But isn't he hurting her image?
Of course he is. But that's
because other people might like her, right. And then he's saying, well, there's no reason to like her. She's stupid.
Exactly. But that's why I'd rather, if you're going to talk to some, if you really want to get involved, I'd rather you talk with him than talk with her, because there's not really much she can do about it, but you can stop the thing by going to its source.
Have we even come up with a definition of gossip in this conversation?
I don't think we really have. I do think we're talking about exchange of information that's largely unsubstantiated, that is maybe of a slightly lurid or provocative nature, and let me throw this out, Leonard, and see if you'll go along with it. And really doesn't have much to do with us. I mean, that's the other part of it. We're not touched by a subject. Now, we might be very upset to see someone we care about touched by it, and that opens a new door and raises more questions about whether we should get involved. But the classic gossiping about somebody's lousy marriage or their nasty kid who's been thrown out of every school he's ever gone to, or somebody's terrible job review, those don't really have anything to do with us. We just get a kind of frisson out of talking about them. But it's like a quick-acting drug, because the frisson lasts for, unfortunately, only a few seconds, and then we're left bathing in this pool of negative energy that we've created. And feeling guilty about it.
And if you're with somebody else who thinks you shouldn't have said that, then that becomes a topic of discussion, and then you have to either defend yourself or say, yeah, really, I shouldn't have said that.
And the thing that in the past has stopped me short was when a really good friend of mine said, you know, I had been gossiping up a blue streak, and she turned to me and said, you know, it's very hard for me to imagine trusting you. Because if you're talking about so-and-so like this, I can only imagine what that eventually you're going, the subject is going to turn to me when I'm not around. And it really, really stopped me in my tracks, you know, for a while. Not unfortunately forever, but for a while.
My guest is Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues column in the Sunday Times. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Amanda from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
I was just calling to see if you thought there was a difference between gossip and rumor mongering. The two, I feel like, are often overlapping, often interchanging, but gossip can just be factual, whereas rumors always, I think, tend to be malicious.
Huh. I'm not seeing such a you're saying that gossip is more factual and rumor is more negative wishes that we put out into the world?
I sometimes think so, because I think that gossip includes almost anything where you're talking about somebody else that's not present almost, whereas, and often can include rumors, but I think that rumors are sort of their own category or maybe subsection of gossip, because you never really hear a positive rumor about somebody. Maybe you do. I don't tend to.
Yeah, somebody's going to get traded. Someone is going to get sacked. Somebody's going to get, yeah. It's a very interesting point.
Thank you for calling us. A listener asks, are the boundaries of gossip changing? If someone posts something on Facebook to just some friends, is it gossip if I speak about that with other people?
Oh, well,
I mean, they're the ones who are starting it, but maybe they don't want everybody in the world to know.
They're disclosing something about themselves. I think that we're all savvy enough about social media now to know that when we post something online, it is going to make its way. I mean, I think we probably wish that our footprint was bigger than it was online, but I think when we post it ourselves, that we are saying it's fair for the world to know about it.
Let's take another call. This one is Craig from Long Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I am someone who historically has come down on the side of not liking gossip in any form whatsoever, until I read something some years ago by an evolutionary psychologist who suggested that the ability or the willingness to participate in these kinds of social communications originally stemmed from people within a community trying to decide who was a proper mate. And so in that context, it kind of made sense to me, and I was a little more open to it, although I wasn't looking for a mate at the time, because there was some underlying social reason right. for it.
But sometimes those rumors can be false, and that can really hurt somebody.
Right.
There are those people with bad reputations who don't necessarily deserve them.
Yeah, and but the caller's point is a good one. There have been lots of evolutionary and studies that point to the usefulness of gossip. But we're talking about hundreds of years ago when there weren't more effective ways of policing and keeping members of communities in check and their behavior in check. Now we don't really need to trash talk Jane's husband in order to do any of that. So, but I like the fact that at least you're beginning to see the gray area in it, because there's got to be something in it or we wouldn't all be doing it.
We're going to take a little break and come back with some more gossip, we'll some smack, with Philip Galanis, who is the writer of the New York Times Social Cues column every Sunday. Along with the wedding announcements and the photographs of people who are at galas that I wasn't invited to or couldn't afford to go to. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We're back with Philip Galanis, who actually writes two columns now for the New York Times. The other one, kind of gossip.
Well,
you get together with a couple of people who seem to have nothing in common, and you try to find commonalities. But
yeah, you always start with their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. That's all I find always the best way to do it, because we all hate them and love them in almost equal measure.
Should we take another call? Robert, hi, you're on the air.
Men will always say he doesn't gossip.
Hi, right? Leonard. Thank you. I have a serious gossip problem that has occurred off and on for the last 8 years in Carroll Gardens. As an ex-cop turned realtor, and
isn't that what all ex-cops do these days?
I love that.
This guy keeps creating rumors and gossip that my residence is for rent or for sale at fantastical prices. And he's a guy, a flagrant gossip. And most of the working class around here, they're sort of hip to that he does that all the time. But a lot of newer people that have moved in, they're not. So suddenly they know this ex-cop, and this ex-cop is renting or selling a unit that's worth five times as much for some fantastical little price.
Well,
I don't
understand. Is he saying this because he's trying to drum up an incredible transaction for, like a Swifty Lazar move, where he's saying, I think I could rent it. I think I could get him to rent it to you for $10,000 a month. And then if he gets you a great price, then he brings it to you and hopes to drum up business that way.
I have nothing for sale. I have nothing for rent.
But if he's a broker,
I'd rather not be bothered with the gossip. I came back from Pennsylvania, a little work trip yesterday, to find there was four people that came up to me and they said, I hear you move in. And
so do you think he's doing this just out of maliciousness?
Out of maliciousness, yeah.
So
out of maliciousness, and you'd be surprised how the city of New York
has not dealt with
the problem.
This is not doesn't sound like a very like a life threatening problem. So how about going up to the guy or calling the guy and saying, you know,
just
to be clear, I'm not renting anything right now, and I'll let you know when I am.
Thank you for your call. An anonymous listener shared this question on our show page. How do I tell my sister that she started gossiping way too much? It's sort of toxic to be around her.
Well, see, this is the great question, because who likes to have a personal fault pointed out by someone else who probably shares that personal fault to some extent, just not at the same time or involving the same people? So whenever I want to talk to somebody about gossip, I make sure to own the fact that I'm gossiping too. I'm a gossip too. And I also tend not to do it at the moment when they're in the gossiping, but a little bit later say, you know, I want to talk to you about something that I've noticed us both doing. And I think we should try to cut down on the gossip, because it just creates a lot of negative energy, a lot of guilt. It creates a lot of bad feeling. And I think we are better than that. And so, you know, try to play it that way, as non-confrontational as you can, because I guarantee you it. If you just said to her, you know, sis, knock it off, you've become like a toxic gossip, that's just not going to work. You're just going to get into a fight with her.
The key is that what you said, saying, I think we're better than that.
Yeah.
So you play up to her positive
side.
Yeah,
her idea of the best idea of her, the Oprah, the best her she can be.
Of course, Oprah's show was all about gossip.
Yeah.
Sarah from Highland Lakes, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that sometimes it can be gossip, but it can be a positive. My husband, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and my husband works long hours. And you know what? I guess, it's telling him about my day, but it's totally gossiping about me and my friends and what's going on. But I know he's never going to say anything. And I also know he doesn't even see past these people most of the time. And it's fun, and it's a way that my husband actually, we bond. I'm like, babe, you would not believe what happened today. And it's a healthy way for me to release, because you know what? I love my friends, but some, like everything, and I'm sure I can be just as bad. But I know it's gossip, but I'm okay with it.
Well, you know something, I think you're raising a really great point. There is a way that it is an endorphin rush. It blows off steam. It's a little bit like running on a treadmill. You're getting that stuff out of you, and you're doing it pretty safely with someone who's not in the community. I mean, he's not in this community of women or child caregivers that you're hanging out with during the day. And so it's safe, and
as you can hear in the background.
I can hear. He sounds adorable.
Thank you. She's taking her socks off.
Thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
Now, it can be an international problem, gossip sometimes. When the American diplomatic cables were released on WikiLeaks, many of them contained gossip about diplomats and leaders in foreign countries.
Yeah, some of them were very funny.
So it embarrassed the gossiper, but on the other hand, wasn't some of that information important for higher-ups in the State Department to know?
Well, one of the things that I also do, along with writing social cues and writing for the style section, is I'm an entertainment lawyer. And one of the things that typically I do with my peers, you know, colleagues, is to say, you know, the best way to negotiate with him is like X, Y, and Z. Do this, play up to this. He thinks that he's a genius. So the more you make him think that you think he's a genius too, the better off you're going to be. And a lot of information, a lot of diplomacy is sharing the way people are in the world and the best way to get to yes with them. And that is a kind of gossip, but it is a shame that a lot of those things were leaked, but it was also very interesting to see a lot of the other things that were leaked.
Well, but gossip also can be taken differently in different cultures. I gather now that French President Hollande has continued a streak of philandering among French presidents. This one may hurt him a little more because of certain circumstances, but the French all feel you should just look the other way when Bill Clinton was accused of philandering. It led to impeachment proceedings.
Sure. Exactly. Cross-cultural norms are very different. This Hollande thing is so interesting to me because whether it was necessary or tactical, the idea of checking yourself into a hospital, I think, is one that I want to keep in my back pocket, because I think that is like when you aim to wound, that is a card to play.
Well, there are other ways that people aim to wound. Kathy left this question on a show page. My daughter recently broke up with her boyfriend of 3.5 years because she fell in love with someone else. Her new ex-boyfriend embarked on a campaign to slut-shame her by spreading false rumors to all their friends that she cheated on him. Now, many of their mutual friends do not want to associate with her. She's innocent, but that's not the point. How should she deal with this? And then we have a situation where California has actually passed a law, if I have been following this correctly, where if you post photos of an ex, embarrassing photos, nude or whatever, that you actually are...
I have read about this, yeah.
You can go... That's punishable.
There's
by
liability.
The law now.
Yeah, absolutely. The person who wrote on the show page, I would suggest that she stay away from this guy and the people that she, I mean, he's going to blow off steam for a certain period of time, but I don't think tangling with him when he's in this frame of mind is going to yield anything good for your daughter.
The problem is those other friends. I had a situation similar to that when I broke up with my ex-wife, and people took sides without having any idea why it had happened. And I came to the final conclusion, well, if those people were real friends, they would have either asked me what happened or they just would have assumed that there are two sides to every story and left it at that.
Well, the very act of choosing between sides when somebody breaks up is also a kind of, it's a cousin of gossiping, because we are going to read into a situation we know nothing about, and we take pleasure in making a judgment for or against.
And often one of the spouses is out there talking about it all the time.
Because she's so hurt, or because she's so angry, or because she's so jealous, or because she's so whatever.
Well, maybe that's the reason
or he is so. Exactly. And but I think that nothing that your daughter is going to say in this moment while there's a flurry of gossip in the world is going to change anything. She should just keep her head down and go about her business, and we should all be happy that she's happy. And as Leonard says, the true friends are going to remain standing by.
Paulette from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Well, hi, I love your show, Leonard.
Thank you.
I was calling in to just express, as a child growing up in the Deep South, my parents were like community organizers. They did a great, they're very attractive people, and they were really very cool. We had a group of church ladies who began to spread a rumor that my mother had been divorced. And of course, you know, during that period, it was very fundamentalist Christian. It can still be very much so down there. So they took the gossip to the church, and my parents were called out by elders. And literally, my family, we were actually blackballed to a degree when finally the truth did come out. The preacher actually had to preach a sermon about gossip. But it really did hurt my life as a child, and it was completely motivated by jealousy and maliciousness.
Yeah, that's it's a terrible story. I'm sorry that happened.
Faith left this question on our show page. I work in a private home for a very wealthy and eccentric woman. Her staff often needs to lean on each other for support and to vent our frustrations with her odd and psychologically erratic behavior. She's threatened us all that she will not tolerate gossip, as I believe she finds it very threatening and hurtful. I'd like to respect her wishes, but I am unsure about where the lines between camaraderie, support, healthy release, and gossip lie.
Well, if I'm reading between the lines correctly here, you need to lean on your coworkers when this eccentric old lady goes off on you or does something that seems slightly crazy and or mean and offensive. And I think that's a kind of self-preservation, reporting to each other the latest blow or the weirdest experience. That's not gossiping. That's just you're trying to prop yourself up. And I hope the wage is high, because lots of otherwise I would maybe try to find another job
but you're saying don't call Page Six.
I would say don't call Page Six unless it's somebody Page Six really loves. I've heard they sometimes pay.
Say that you've been gossiping about someone and they walk in the room, it's clear that you've been talking about him or her. What do you say? Is there anything you can say?
Oh, it's clear? Do you think, Leonard, are you assuming it's clear because they've heard it or because
suddenly
everyone just goes quiet? Mm-hmm. Well, then I think that's a perfect time to bring up some kind of sporting story, because, you know, you just make an allusion to a sporting story or a movie. Sally, have you seen 12 Years a Slave, which we were just talking about?
Joanne from Ozone Park, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. To further the slut-shaming discussion you had a minute ago, when I was in my late teens, some guy that I had been friends with suddenly started to tell people that I was this slut and a half. And it dissuaded a guy who was interested in me from going out with me to then go out with the gossiper's sister and marry her. And it caused a lot of people to decide whether they wanted to be friends with me or not based on the gossiper. And I don't know.
It's a terrible story. I mean,
luckily, you've come out of it alive.
And it's a terrible story, probably. And the sad thing was, the guy didn't ever seem to... I mean, I'm assuming it was all based on the fact that the guy was attracted to you and either never got up the courage to say that he was and just took a sort of shortcut to this low ground, this nasty low ground.
Years later, he apologized to me. Of course, he was sober at that point, because I think he apparently had developed some sort of a drinking problem, but he... at a bar when he was drinking a non-alcoholic brew, he came to me and said, "I'm really sorry." And I looked at him like, "You need to just step away from me."
Yeah. Larry from New Jersey says that without Christy gossip, what else is there to talk about? And in families, gossip becomes another way of communicating, doesn't it? There are a lot of power struggles within families, a lot more than within friends. Does that affect how gossip works when it comes to relatives?
Well, gossip among relatives, let's go back to the example of the older, eccentric, rich lady who's employing people and abusing them in equal measure. Then if I'm gossiping with my brothers about my dad or my mom or something that was difficult, there can be a kind of therapeutic quality of it that I would hate to tell somebody not to take advantage of. At the same time, if we're talking about, like, where's Thanksgiving going to be next year, and we start talking about how controlling Uncle Bart is when it comes to how to do the turkey and who's going to make the sides, then it is just that doesn't seem to me to be of any great merit in the world.
Anyway, we have to bring this to an end, Philip. I'm so sorry. There's so many embarrassing stories I wanted to tell about people I know. Philip Galanis writes the Social Cues column for the Sunday New York Times. And what's the other column called?
Table for Three.
And it's always a pleasure to have you on our show.
Always a pleasure to see you, Leonard. Thank you.